Brian Joseph is the director for South and Southeast Asia at the National Endowment for Democracy. He's now in Washington. Could you tell us first what the chief characteristics are of the current military government in Burma?
The Burmese military doesn't really fit any of the stereotypes or pictures of a military. It is an institution with a leadership that's poorly educated, not worldly, not particularly interested in regional or international assistance and cooperation. It faces a tremendous democratic opposition led by Aung San Suu Kyi. It faced, over the past 40 years, insurgencies from most of the ethnic nationality groups. And to this point in time, how they govern and how they make decisions remains a very opaque decision-making process.
Do these men consider themselves devout Buddhists? Are they Buddhists?
They consider themselves devout Buddhists. And if you look at the response to the Saffron Revolution of last year, there was a huge concern that when the junta turned and started attacking the monks, who are a very, very well-respected, deeply devout Buddhist country, this signaled to many, many people the sort of the final straw in the erosion of their legitimacy in the country, but they themselves see themselves as a highly devout, deeply Buddhist military.
Okay, but if that eroded any of the credibility during that, as you say, the Saffron Revolution, where there was this revolt on the part of many, many monks, and then subsequently the people of Burma last year, that was squelched. Why is it then that that if there was such an uprising, that the Burmese government has been able to hang on, and how has it hung on?
That's a very good question. Most of us were quite surprised when the protests reached the size they did. When they were first just a few hundred people, that was something that we assumed would be cracked down on. But before you knew it, there were tens of thousands of people in the street. But the way they responded to it is the way they have in the past, which they literally cracked down very hard. They emptied the monasteries. They detained, arrested, tortured, killed dozens of people, if not hundreds. The numbers are really not well known. And they've used simple repressive tactics to control the society.
I want to play for you now a little bit of a discussion that we had earlier today with Shari Villarosa. She, as you know, is the U.S. Chargé d'Affaires in Rangoon, Burma. And this is how she described what the Burmese military is doing, the government of Burma, in fact, is doing in response to the cyclone.
This is not a government that sees itself as servants of the people. I consider myself a public servant as a U.S. government official. I work for the U.S. people. That is not how the military views themselves.
I'm going to step in right here. It's as you can tell, it's a bad line, but she was saying that this is not a government that sees itself in Burma as a servant of the people. She says she works for the U.S. people. The government of Burma, the military, does not see itself that way, and the people are unhappy. In a situation like this, is it possible in any way that people will feel, say, as emboldened as they did during the price hikes, the food price hikes of last year, to do the same thing and revolt?
They're very, very different. One is the price hikes of last summer, of August last summer, which triggered the initial protest, were initially run by and started up by a group of former student activists, and they were responding to government mismanagement. This is quite different. This is a natural disaster. The challenge in Burma is that there's very, very little infrastructure to begin with and very little capacity to deal with a natural disaster.
Which means everything is weakened, the government and the people?
I'm not sure if the government is weakened at this point in time. This is an extremely resilient government that has withstood more than any of us ever would imagine a government could withstand, including the Saffron Revolution of last year.
Well, it's still a curiosity, as you say, as to why the government has been able to survive so much in Burma. Help us understand, then, the mind of this military government in Burma. With roughly half the population at or below the poverty level, how has it been able to sustain itself, turning down in the past, as it has, offers of financial assistance from the international community?
Burma is a resource-rich country, which over the past few years, going back over a decade, have started to find significant oil and gas reserves. It's got a huge timber and gem industry. So the Burmese government, like other resource-rich countries, has not had to produce wealth. It simply extracts wealth from the land. It's also created a state within a state. So the 400,000-person strong army has its own state institutions, its own schools, its own hospitals, and it protects itself by creating a cocoon around the institutions of the military.
All right. Brian Joseph, the director for South and Southeast Asia at the National Endowment for Democracy. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.